Welcome to this episode of Dental Soundbites. Here's your host, Dr. Bill Griffin.
Today's guest on Dental Soundbites is Dr. Amber Thomas, a recent graduate of the Dental College of Georgia. Dr. Thomas grew up in Texas and earned her Bachelor of Science in Psychology from Texas A&M University. She moved to Augusta, Georgia with her husband, John, and three daughters to attend the Dental College of Georgia, where she built a reputation for excellence in both leadership and academic achievement. As is the case with most who successfully complete dental school, it wasn't exactly a walk in the park for Amber. But her situation included some unique challenges far beyond what most of us have faced in earning our DDS or DMD degrees. Enjoy Amber's story of perseverance and determination fueled by the love of those around her. Amber, thank you for being our guest today on CMDA's Dental Soundbites.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
Now, you recently received your undergraduate degree a while back from Texas A&M at 22 years of age, which I understand was no small accomplishment for you.
No, not at all. I was actually the first one in my family to go to college. So it was a pretty big eye-opener for me going from a teeny tiny town in Texas to a really big school. So what a wild ride, but it brought me here. So
very good. And what was life like for you after college?
After I graduated, I was 22, and this was actually in 2012, which seems like forever ago whenever I graduated college. And so after college, I kind of treated those 2 years post-college as like a stepping stone because I got a degree in something I was never planning on using. I just really didn't enjoy school. I didn't think I was very good at it or didn't really believe I was very smart. And so I was like, you know what? I just need a degree so I can get a job and I'll figure out what I'm going to do later. Mm-hmm. And so I stayed with the company that I had worked for all throughout college. And that company was how I actually paid my way through school. And so I was like, I'm going to corporate recruit for this company for 2 years at least, because I feel like that kind of skill level and that knowledge will help me with whatever I may decide to do after that. Mm-hmm. And so about 2 years later, I remember sitting down with my boyfriend, now husband, mm-hmm. at the time, and I sat down with him and I was like, I think I'm ready to pursue my dream, which is being a dentist. And so I just remember so vividly, he was right across the table from me. We were having lunch and he was like, Amber, go for it. And I was kind of shocked because wow. He's definitely more of the logical brain of the two of us. And so it didn't really make sense to me at the time, but it just kind of foreshadowed just how much hope and faith he had in me. So,
well, how did dentistry become your dream? What were the initial thoughts along those lines?
I've actually wanted to be a dentist since I was a little girl. I remember my dentist growing up, and I absolutely loved going to the dentist because I had a pretty broken family house, situation. And so when I remember visiting the dentist and just felt the love of Jesus when I was there, and it felt like such a safe place compared to, the brokenness that I was experiencing at home. Mm. And that sort of thing. So I love visiting the dentist. And like most people, when they talk about why they wanted to become a dentist, I feel it always involves some sort of dental trauma, which was definitely my case too. I was in fifth grade playing hide and seek with one of my best friends, and I ended up hitting my face on her mom's car and broke my front two teeth. So I was in and out of the dental office all the time. But, I kind of, at that point, I was like, what else can I do to break my teeth again so I can just go back to the dentist? I absolutely adored going to the dentist.
When dentistry can help you at a time of need like that, I would think mm-hmm. at least subconsciously you thought, wow, this is really nice that they could help me in such a great time of need.
Yes. And my dentist, he loved the Lord fiercely, was a wonderful husband and dad. And sadly, he actually passed away about a week before I graduated dental school.
Oh,
I'm so thankful for the example that I had in him, even at such a young age. And so going through school, I always had it in the back of my mind, but I didn't have any professionals in my family. I didn't know what pursuing a big dream like that looked like, and to the point where I would just at some point decided, all right, well, I'll just, you know, be a business major. I'll go into banking like my aunt. I'll do something that I've seen be done before, and ended up going to college. And obviously my route kind of transitioned and changed quite a bit from that. But I'm so thankful that later in life, I finally had the courage to pursue something that I thought was going to be really difficult.
Well, I'm sure your dentist growing up was encouraged to be at least a piece of your inspiration to head to dental school. And perhaps some of the listeners of this podcast have a similar opportunity to encourage their patients to follow a similar route.
Yes.
Actually, I share that in common with you, because when I was, I think, in about second grade, I badly broke a front tooth down near the gum line, and our family was on vacation in West Virginia at the time. We had to hustle home to get it fixed, and my father was my dentist, so he fixed it for me, and who knows, that might have contributed me to following his footsteps as well.
That's amazing.
So I'm interested to know, you mentioned that your husband John was quite agreeable when you talked about pursuing that. Did you have to take other courses before you could apply to dental school?
Yes, I actually had to start from ground zero. So Chem 1, Chem 2, O-Chem 1, O-Chem 2, Biology 1, Biology, you know, all of the normal prerequisites that you need for dental school, I had taken zero. When I tell you that I didn't like school, and again, it's not that I wasn't smart or anything. I just think felt overwhelmed with being able to know how to study, going from a tiny school to a big school in college. And so I just never really formed the correct habits, I guess you would say, when it came to studying and all those things. And so with my degree, it's a bachelor's of science in psychology, you had to take a biology course. Mm-hmm. And so I remember sitting down with my guidance counselor at the time, and I was like, what is the easiest biology course you have? And it was biology of honeybees. And so that was my biology course that I took in my undergrad. So yes, I started from ground zero. In the spring of 2014 is when I started taking courses. And then that next semester was a full load. Ended up getting engaged during that season of life. And then a year later, we were married. And then 3 months later, we were unexpectedly pregnant with twins. So, you know, there was a little bit of transition and halting of taking courses, because I stayed home with my twins for about 10 and a half months. And then 2 years later, we had our third child, and I stayed home with her for 6 months before heading back to the classroom. I was eager to get all the prereqs done. At that point, my husband was like, is this journey ever going to end? Because I've been taking so many courses for so long, is what it seemed like. But we had a couple of unexpected and unplanned things during that time.
And then you were able to be accepted into the Dental College of Georgia in Augusta there. That must have been a really busy time of life for you and your family.
It definitely was. I will say I describe it as, you know, we got the notification of my acceptance, and it was January of 2021. And so by March, we had to get our house on the market, sell our home, pack everything up, and move to Georgia. So it was a very tumultuous time, in a sense of there were a lot of moving parts that we were having to constantly keep up with and transitioning our kids. But I will say, looking back, my husband and I, you know, he would very much agree, we got to fall in love with our family again. You know, we went from a very comfortable place with all of our friends and family. His family's from Texas, so is mine. And we loved and adored our church community that we are very plugged into. And so it was really, really, really hard being plucked from a place that we absolutely loved. But when we came to Georgia, it was just us five. And so it was so amazing just getting to see God move and work in our family and us fall in love with each other again. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I used to joke that I love my Georgia husband. He's amazing. And so just being able to really fall in love with our family again. It was such a joy and such a blessing that neither one of us really expected. Even during a very busy time of dental school, it's been amazing for us.
Now, a few years back, CMDA CEO Dr. Mike Chupp and I had an opportunity to speak at a student breakfast event at Dental College of Georgia. And what a wonderful group of students we met, probably 50 or so early in the morning. It seems like you had a great group of colleagues during dental school.
I sure did. I will say they were very quickly like family. And I think when you do anything tough like that, when you're put in what I would call the battlefield, which is obviously dental school is nowhere near an actual battlefield. Mm-hmm. But when you're put into something tough like that and you're going through the same things, regardless of if you're married or single or whatever the case may be, you're seeing these people every single day and going through the same things that they're going through and having the same stressors. They all really become like family. Even if they look nothing like you or maybe have different backgrounds than you, you all really just truly become like family. And I'm so thankful and so blessed for the classmates that I had. I don't think that I would have made it through dental school without that group of people. Like, God definitely knew what he was doing when he placed me in the class of 2025.
In addition to your student colleagues, you also had some tremendous leaders at the Dental College of Georgia. I've enjoyed knowing Van and Angie Haywood for probably a couple of decades now. And in fact, I was speaking with Van earlier today. And I've also appreciated Greg Griffin and Josh DuBose's involvement with dental students, both at DCG and also on the mission field. How involved were you with CMDA during dental school?
Well, as soon as I was an incoming D1, you know, I heard about during my student orientation that there was a Christian Medical and Dental Association that met once a week to do like devotions, worship, whatever the week was. And, you know, just knowing that there's no way that you can really, or at least in my perspective, there's no way that I can do something tough like that without having people who are like-minded, who love the Lord, who can, even in times of struggle, can point me back to Jesus. And so I immediately knew, like, hey, this is something I want to be a part of. I came back from that student orientation, was telling my husband, hey, there's a really awesome group called Christian Medical and Dental Association. I'd really like to be a part of it, you know, because obviously, if I'm getting up and going to a 7 a.m. Bible study and devotion on a random weekday, that's going to be time away in the morning from him and the girls. And so it was a discussion and he was very supportive. You should definitely go be a part of that. So D1 year, I was just what they would call the D1 representative, just a kind of the class representative where you would shoot a text saying, hey, we're having a game night, or hey, you know, 7 a.m. tomorrow in the lounge, you know, just for little reminders like that. And it was D2 and D3 year where I became the vice president for those 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then by the time senior year rolled around, I wanted to take a step back and just, I was still very heavily involved with CMDA, but I didn't want to have a role as a senior. I was like, all right, I want to be able to kind of put more time back into my family, but also, you know, still be very, very involved without having the responsibility of someone needing me there every single week. Because my husband would travel certain times and I didn't want to have somebody filling my position on those times where I couldn't be there. So those were kind of those 4 years how I was involved, and it was amazing. And went on the mission trip to Nicaragua, which was awesome, with some of my classmates, and it was really incredible.
Oh, that's wonderful. I've been on that Nicaragua trip also, a great place to serve. It strikes me as truly amazing, in a good way, that despite your family responsibilities, you chose to be an integral part of your CMDA group at Augusta. And I would guess that a number of medical and dental students decide during their school years that they're too busy with their education to spend time with CMDA ministry. How might you respond to a dental student who didn't think they had the time to be involved with CMDA student ministry?
I gotta say, that one is tough for me, simply because I've always had the mentality of my faith comes first, my family comes first. And I've always had the mentality of, you know, the details will work itself out. And as long as I'm being faithful and as long as I am still present with my family and the things that are important to me, mm-hmm. everything else is going to fall into place. And so I was definitely not the type A person who had this like strict study schedule by any means. I always thought I know that I'm going to do better on an exam or on a quiz if I'm also doing things that bring me joy and that I love. And whether that was spending time with my family or doing stuff for CMDA or volunteering, you know, things that really bring you joy and give you a purpose outside of just being a student, I think that makes you a better student and also makes you a better provider. Because if you are just strictly about the books and just strictly about the education, you're missing out on a very important aspect of what your future career is going to be like and how you can be a better provider later on. So for me, if someone were to be concerned about that, I would simply say it will only make you a better provider if you're able to be involved in and immerse yourself into things that are going to bring you joy, but also glorify the Lord. So that would be my response to that, I guess.
Amber, as you're describing your approach to dental school, if you will, I couldn't help but think that keeping things in balance and keeping priorities where they need to be didn't just get you through dental school. It's going to make you a more satisfied, more capable dentist as well. And I think you'll be a great blessing to your patients because you don't see dentistry as the end all of all existence. You see it as what God has called you to do to benefit your family, certainly to benefit your patients as well. But I think a person can be so intent on their career that they become less capable of being able to show true love and true compassion. And secondly, the other thing that comes to mind is, as a person walking with Christ, you have more to offer your patients than just excellent dentistry. You can actually communicate to them the love of Christ through how you care for them and opportunities that the Lord might create as well.
Thank you. And that's honestly one of my biggest prayers. I was texting with Dr. Griffin, which is interesting that you mentioned him a little bit ago. Mm-hmm. He knows that I'm starting my first day tomorrow, and, you know, which can be a little bit nerve-wracking going from the dental school and, you know, everything taking a while because you're waiting on professors to now like, wow, I'm in charge and this is it and it's me. But one of my biggest prayers is, you know, regardless of how smart I am or am not and what I know or what I do not know, the biggest thing that I am asking for in prayer for myself and also those who I love and trust is I want to be able to be somebody who not only provides great dentistry and great care for that patient, but I want them to just like me, like I was able to feel the love of Jesus when I stepped into that office. And so I desperately want that to be the case for my patients and for them to be able to come in and be able to kind of take a breath and everything just feels at peace whenever they're with me. So just hoping that is the case too.
And speaking of Greg Griffin, we are not related except that we are brothers in Christ. And there have been a number of mistakes along the way. In fact, just recently I was doing a mission trip in Rwanda and another person on my GHO team, she said, "So how's Greg doing?" And I said, "Well, I think he's doing pretty well." And she said, "And how's his wife?" And I said, "Well, I don't see them too much except through CMD activities." And she thought I was his brother, so she couldn't figure out why I didn't know all about Greg and his wife. But I know that Greg is really sold out for the well-being of the students there to the point of that being his full-time career now. And you and others are very fortunate to have him at Dental College of Georgia.
Absolutely.
I know that dental school was a real whirlwind for you and your family, but how do you see yourself moving forward with your dental degree now?
So, as you know, and I've mentioned already, I start work. My first day is tomorrow, mm-hmm. and I'm going to be split between two different private practices. Mm-hmm. And how that came about, I remember I had several offers, and it was a really, really tough decision. I am not from here. I don't know the dental community as well as others in the area who do. Mm-hmm. I was feeling very overwhelmed with everything and not really knowing what to do. And I actually called Dr. Gary Boudreau.
Yes, yes. Great guy.
And who I absolutely adore and look up to so much. And I let him know, I'm like, "Hey, I don't know what to do. And you have been practicing here in the area for decades." Mm-hmm. He just retired recently, which is wonderful. But yes. And so we walked through a bunch of the different offers that I had and with the folks. And what's interesting about how that phone call ended is he told me, he said, "Amber, I have somebody I want to reach out to." He's like, "I don't think they're looking, but either way, it'd be really wonderful, even if y'all just are able to do life together." And so I'm like, great. And then of course, just like Dr. Boudreaux does, he prayed over me. And it was amazing just finally getting to talk to someone who I trusted with all of this information that I didn't really know what to do with. And that night, he actually connected me and Dr. Melissa Jordan on a text. And she actually was an associate with him for like 7 years before she ended up opening up her own practice. Mm-hmm. And she currently has an associate already. And so that next day, she was at a volleyball tournament with her oldest daughter. She called me. We spoke on the phone. That Wednesday, I went and visited the office. And 2 days later, you know, she was like, "Amber, I wasn't looking, but I physically have room Wednesdays and Fridays and would love the opportunity to work with you. And it would be crazy to not be in business together and do life together." And it was just, honestly, the easiest, no red flags, just like the peace from the Lord. Mm. It was amazing. So that's one of the practices that I'll be at. And it was a connection through Dr. Gary Boudreaux. Oh, and I'm so grateful for that connection and being able to work with her. So I'll be working at two different practices.
It's pretty cool how the Lord sets those things up. And I actually ran into Gary and his wife, Nan, at a missions conference a few months back. And we worked together with CMBA for quite a while, and I'm glad but not surprised that he's still sowing into people's lives.
Yes, I got to spend time with him and Nan at one of the CMBA national conferences. I think it was the one in Covington.
Yes.
A couple years ago.
Right, uh-huh.
Actually, that was where I heard you speak, and it was one of my favorite CE courses I've ever been able to sit through. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you.
I loved it.
Thank you, Amber. Amber, is there anything else that you'd like to mention? Anything that perhaps I didn't ask about that you'd like to share with our listeners?
You know, I was actually thinking a little bit about this earlier today, because I think that whether you grow up in a home that from, you know, the inside looking out, it's very broken and whatnot, or whether you grow up in a home where it's not broken, I think we all tend to struggle, especially this is what I noticed within my class. You know, whether you had this amazing family whose parents are still married and no craziness going on with your upbringing, mm-hmm. I have noticed that within the dental community is that there always tends to be this level of, "I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to be a dentist. I'm not good enough to care for these people. I'm not smart enough. My hand skills aren't as good as so-and-so." So I feel like we all tend to wrestle with some level of that. And so, you know, my biggest thing that I would want to say to anyone is just remembering who is good, and it's not about you. Mm. And there's never going to be a time where you are good enough, because that's not what we're created for. There is only one that is good. And so bringing it back to truth and kind of removing yourself from it. I'm saying all these things as I'm looking, you know, myself on a video right now, as I'm saying these to myself too, with starting work tomorrow and providing care for people and just wanting to take really good care of them. You have to realize that the Lord brought you here for a reason, and it doesn't matter where you're from, what you've done. It doesn't matter at all. Like, the Lord has directed your steps to this moment and this time. And so anyway, I guess my biggest encouragement is, you know, we talk about this all the time, and you probably hear about it even in the Christian community, is that you're the average of the five people you spend your most time with, right? And so surrounding yourself with people who are going to be able to give you hard truths and point you back to the Lord, are going to be able to make you better, whether that's a better provider, a better mother, a better father, husband, wife, dentist, you know, just surrounding yourself with people who are continuously pointing you back to truth and realizing that it's not about you and it never has been, and it's all for the glory of the Lord. And so that's the biggest thing, is do your best to not wrestle with trying to be good enough, because you will never be. And I don't say that to discourage. I say that to hopefully encourage. Because at the end of the day, you know, we talk about whether it's our past or whether you don't feel smart enough or qualified enough, is that literally the Lord only has sinners to work with. Like, he doesn't have any other option. And I heard that from a podcast by Tara Lee Cobble, who I absolutely love listening to. But she said, literally all God has to work with is sinners. And so we all need Jesus. We're all not going to be good enough, but we are here to serve the one who is good. So anyway, I was just thinking about that earlier.
That is so, so powerful, Amber. I think about the Apostle Paul among the strongest men I could ever imagine. And yet he says in 2 Corinthians 12, he says, "Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me." And I think a part of the truth that sets us free that Jesus talked about is the truth of who we are, our limitations, and how in Christ we can accomplish things that we could never do apart from him. So thanks so much for sharing that.
Thank you. And thanks for having me. This has been wonderful.
Well, it's been great to hear your story, and I look forward to keeping up with how the Lord uses you in the years to come.
Yes, and hopefully I'll be able to come and listen to you again at some point. Are you still speaking at conferences?
Well, have you heard about the Great Commission Dental Conference that comes up in September? That's in the Dallas area. This is a all dental missions conference that will, this is a great chance to do a commercial here. It's an all dental missions conference that'll occur in the Dallas, Texas area. We had it last year. This year will be the second year we will have had it. And we have 35 different sessions that will be offered, including one by Dr. Greg Griffin and Dr. Josh DuBose. And also Dr. Van Haywood will be giving a session along with Dr. Katie Musser as well. So that'll be a wonderful event. And then, of course, the national conference next year. And I look forward to working with CMD as long as the Lord gives me opportunity.
Yes, that's awesome. And we're so thankful for you and all the work that you do. I know it's you're a very, very busy man. So thank you.
God bless you, Amber. Thank you for being with us.
Absolutely.
It's exciting to hear about how Dr. Amber Thomas took on the challenges of dental school alongside the responsibilities of a family, and then emerged from dental school all the more in awe of how God's grace is sufficient for whatever he calls us to do. May the Lord give us the boldness to rightly pursue his will for us, even when it's not easy. And now a few timely announcements from my CMDA colleague, Jamie.
Time is running short to register for the Great Commission Dental Conference, and you don't want to miss this one-of-a-kind opportunity. Whether you see patients in a community clinic, private practice, or international settings, there will be plenty of inspiration to be found from 35 unique sessions designed specifically for those of us in dentistry. To learn more and to register, visit cmda.org/GCDC. If you're a skier or a snowboarder, join Griff and other healthcare professionals in Beaver Creek, Colorado, February 28th through March 7th for a wonderful week of teaching, winter fun, and Christian fellowship. The speaker for this event will be Dr. Stephen Coe, a pediatrician and pastor in New York City. His topic for discussion will be his recent book, Faith Embodied. Join us this winter for a great week in Beaver Creek. To learn more and to register, look for the event tile at cmda.org/events. If you recognize that your patients have physical and spiritual needs, you can be equipped to address both through Saline Process Witness Training. The Saline Process prepares healthcare professionals to care for the whole person by incorporating faith into everyday clinical practice. To sign up for an upcoming event or to explore hosting one in your area, visit cmda.org/saline.
Yeah. If you're enjoying your connection with CMDA, consider inviting a colleague of like mind who can help us extend our reach in the dental profession. Give them an opportunity to see how central faith can be in meeting the needs of our patients, both here and abroad. Thank you for your partnership with CMDA and for listening to this episode of Dental Soundbites. If you know of someone whose story could help us create a future episode, shoot me an email at bill.griffin@cmda.org. Until next time, God bless.
Thanks for listening to Dental Soundbites. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email dental@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.